Bible's in your hands. And repeating after me. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught God's word. I'm at Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Pastor Andre, feed me this word. Come on, put your hands together one more time this morning. All right, we're going to get into the Word of God. And so we just finished a series called what? What was the series called, y'all? You can tell me. Radically Blessed. And so we've been enjoying that series. It ended last week. And so we're just going to do once again just a review like we've done. So we had six major steps in radical obedience. In Radically Blessed. Number one was radical obedience. Number two was radical generosity. Number three was radical confidence. And the guy that came to us Saturday morning and did some financial and leadership training with us, he talked much about confidence. And then radical favor, radical patience, and radical vision. And so I told you before that I was going to be switching to radical grace, but for some reason I didn't quite want to go there yet. I've got a lot that I want to lay out for radical grace and kind of probably going to even push that all the way into the winter months. But before I did it, I was like, I kind of want to go somewhere else. And so I'm calling today's sermon Bonus Track. You ever been listening to music and it tells you you got 11 songs and then you realize there's a bonus track? So this is not Radically Blessed, but it's partly in there. It's just a bonus track. Somebody say bonus track. Bonus track. Everybody likes a bonus, don't they? A little bit of bonus, a little bit of extra. And so I got another musical term for us. This is what we're going to do. We're going to do the 23rd Psalms remix. So the 23rd Psalms is a very familiar passage of Scripture, and I don't want to bore you with just reading something that you done heard all your life. So we're going to remix the 23rd Psalms. Now, you know me, I'm a word person, so I'm not messing with the word. But what we're going to do, I'm going to preach the 23rd Psalms. Instead of preaching it from the top to the bottom, I'm going to preach it from the bottom to the top. So in other words, we're going to remix it. I'm going to start with the last verse and preach it from the last verse all the way back up to the first verse. Somebody say remix. So we're going to remix it a little. And so we're going to start with Psalms 23 and 6. So there's only six verses in the entire 23rd Psalm. So I'm not going to rush, but I'm still going to get you out in a good time. But I want to take my time and remix this the way God gave it to me. Amen. All right. Psalms 23, verse 6, which is the last part of the chapter. It says this. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to say it one more time, because oftentimes when we hear the 23rd Psalms, we hear it at funerals. And so I'm not trying to have a sad message. I want to tell you the goodness in this chapter. Surely goodness and mercy shall do what? Follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So my first point is this. You have an entourage. In other words, you're not moving by yourself. If you see me talking to myself, I'm not crazy. I got goodness and mercy following me. You may not see it, but it's there. And I may not see it, but it's there. The Bible promised me that goodness and mercy shall follow me. It'll pursue me. It'll do what I do. When I go left, it goes left. When I go right, it goes right. It's always there to back me up. And here's the thing I've learned. People, humans will tell you, I got your back. But everybody that says they have your back doesn't have your back. And what I'm glad about and what I'm thankful about and what makes me smile is even when humans move away, there's goodness and there's mercy that's still behind me. When I get in my car, I don't drive alone. When I go to my job, I don't go alone. When I'm at the restaurant, even if you see me eating alone, I'm not by myself. I got goodness and mercy. And what's important, the reason why we need both of them, we always want God to be good to us. We always want God to be good. We always want him to be good. And we say God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. But here's the matter. God is good all the time, and sometimes we bad all the time. And so since God is good, but I'm bad, I don't deserve his goodness. But here's the thing. God said, that's why I put mercy there too. Because if I mess up and do something stupid and step out of his goodness, I step right into his mercy. And what his mercy does, it does for me what I don't deserve. We sang a song that said you deserve it, but if I'm being honest, there's some stuff that I deserve. I deserve hell. I deserve disease. I deserve sickness. But the mercy of God is on my side. I don't look like what I've been through, because goodness and mercy are following me. It only follows me on Sunday morning. It says all the days of my life. That means good days and bad days, happy days and sad days, mediocre days, goodness and mercy shall follow me. And I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about you too. You got to know goodness and mercy shall follow. You have an entourage. And then it says, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So here's my next point. I ain't going nowhere. See, when times get tough, I still know I got goodness and mercy. So I ain't going nowhere. Devil, you can't get me off my square. I ain't going nowhere. I got to try this. I ain't done this in a while. Let me get on up here. Back in the day, we used to play a game called King of the Hill. And King of the Hill is you stand on the hill and everybody challenged you, but it was your job to say, I ain't going nowhere. You can't push me off my square. You can't knock me off my square, because I ain't going nowhere. You got to wake up early in the morning to stop me. You got to wake up early in the morning to block me, because devil, I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why? Because he been good to me and he been merciful to me. And how would it look for me to be so selfish? The moment he don't do what I want, when I want, how I want, I'm leaving God. The devil is a lie. I ain't going nowhere. I understand that's not good grammar, but I don't care about good grammar. I want the devil to know I can be ghetto with him. I ain't going nowhere. Times are going to get tough, and times will get rough, but I made up in my mind I ain't going nowhere. Let me jump off of Christianity for just a second, and let me talk about some regular stuff. In my marriage, I ain't going nowhere. We might get mad at each other. We might have to sleep on other sides of the bed. But I promise you and you promise me, I ain't going nowhere. You got to make up in your mind there's some stuff you're not going to take from me. You're not going to push me around. You're not going to rob me from it, devil. I ain't going nowhere. Here. And I'm here to stay. See, God didn't bring me this far to leave me. I don't feel no ways tired, because I come too far from where I started from. Devil, I ain't going nowhere. How about you shout that? Say, I ain't going nowhere. All right, let's go to verse 5. The remix. It's just a remix. Psalms 23 and 5 says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. So this will be the third point is this. Watch me.
Not only am I not going anywhere, devil, watch me eat. Everything you said I couldn't do, watch me do it. Because I'm not doing it in my own energy. I got to remind you, goodness and mercy are following me. So, devil, watch me eat. Haters, watch me eat. Because he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. If you don't have any haters, you're not really doing anything. You ought to advance to where somebody somewhere don't like you. You ought to grow and be so wealthy and be so smart and look so good that somebody ought to get mad at you. You ought to look so good that somebody turn their nose up just because you look that good. And just let them know. You ain't got to say it ugly, but inside say, watch me eat. I ain't backing up. I ain't coming off of this. Devil, I ain't going nowhere. Way. And guess what? You're going to stick around and you're going to watch me eat. You're going to watch me enjoy this. I'm reminded of what's going on in this season of life, the season of anxiety and panic attacks and depression. And in this season, this is where the devil weaves in suicidal thoughts. And suicidal thoughts that are at an all-time high in church and out of church. The devil will make you feel like you need to give up, take some pills, put a gun to your head. He'll challenge you in those ways. And this is what we don't do. We don't dog people out who've made that choice because sometimes the pressure got too hot. But if you're still living and you survived it all, after the devil done got done talking to your mind, don't just let him walk out and leave. No, you call him back and you tell him, watch me eat. You told me I was going to be dead by June and I'm still here. I want you to watch me eat. I want you to see me walking in my blessing. I want you to see the anointing flowing on my head. Devil, come back here. No, don't you leave. Don't you go nowhere. Devil, come back here and watch me eat. This is my moment. This is my hour. This is my season. Watch me eat. No, don't run off, devil. Come right back. I need you to watch me. So here's the part of the problem. We let the devil talk to us, but we don't talk to him. I like to talk to him. I want him to hear me talking to him because I spent so many times of my life letting him talk to me. No, you gonna listen to me. And guess what, devil? I ain't going nowhere. And watch me eat. Tell you a story about a man named Lester Sumrall. Lester Sumrall was a man who traveled. He was from Indiana, or his ministry was based in South Bend, Indiana. Traveled all across the globe, and he dealt heavily in demonology and dealing with demons, and the brother wasn't scared of no demons. After you done faced a few demons, they all the same, and all they trying to do is scare you off of your promise. And so he said he had finished a revival somewhere overseas and was sitting in his bedroom, and all of a sudden he smelled this foul smell come in the room. He recognized with the smell of it, there was the smell of some demonic force, but he was tired. He said, I ain't got time to be worried about that. And then he heard noises enter the room. Now, some of us, we had been ran up out of the room, but he was strong in his spirituality, and he wasn't afraid. And so he heard noises. And then he said he could see that the curtain on the window was blowing and moving, but the window wasn't open. Wasn't no air in the room. So he knew this is a demonic force. And then all of a sudden, the last thing he felt the bed begin to shake. The bed he was sitting in began to shake and actually move several inches over. And he still didn't get scared. He said he was laying down. He woke up and said, in the name of Jesus, get out of my room. All of a sudden, the wind stopped blowing, the smell left, the bed stopped shaking, and the noises left, and everything was returned, and he laid back down. And then a couple of minutes later, he said, come back here and move this bed where it was before. He said, the smell came back. The curtain started blowing again. The noises happened again. The bed shook till it got to where it was before, and then everything left again. He said, look here, devil. I control this. You don't run nothing in my life. Now let me throw this in. He did that through the power of Jesus. If you don't know my Savior, don't play with the devil. The devil will wear you straight out. I'm talking about folk who know the Savior, who know the blood has washed them, and the blood has covered them, and they had power in the name of Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, watch me eat.
Watch me eat.
All right. Now, it says, this is interesting. It says, you anointed my head with oil. My cup does what? Runs over. Now, if my enemy is watching me eat, so we're going to take it outside of the devil, because what the devil does, he gets in people to make them your enemy. But if God anoints me so much that my cup runs over and I'm in the presence of my enemies, guess where the anointing is going to go to? The anointing is going to run off of me and run over to my enemies. So my next point is join my team. See, what you're going to find out is some folk that thought they were your enemy, they just didn't know you. But once they got close to you, you're so anointing and you're so loving, you're so kind, and they thought they didn't like you and they end up loving you. Not only did you start off being my hater, but once you watched me eat, you got touched with what I got touched with. And now no longer are you my enemy. Now you're on my side. Come on in, join my team.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says pray for your enemies. It's not saying that you should be happy that folk doing you wrong, but he said pray for them, because one day the person that's doing you wrong might have to come back and say, I'm sorry, and they might come back and be on your side. The Bible says that God was going to reign till his enemies become his footstool. Now, I know some of y'all may not be old enough. You're too young. But some of us are old enough, and I'm not that old. I'm in the middle of my life. But I've been old enough to see people who say one thing, come back and say something else. One of my favorite people on my job, when they first met me, they told me later on, they said, that's one stuck up brother. I don't like him. He's stuck up. He don't be smiling. He don't speak to nobody. But then this person got put on my job. And once they got put on my job and interacted with me, they loved me and like, oh, he cool. And then several months later, they told me, I didn't like you. I thought you were stuck up, but I misread you. I didn't realize that you're just serious. You was just doing your thing, but you cool as the other side of the pillow, because they didn't know me. See, here's the thing. The devil will make folk not like you, but here's the thing. If you know me, it's to love me. You can't help but love me, because I'm so lovable. I'm so darn good looking. You can't help but like me. Join my team. Make your enemies turn around. And I had another white brother that was my friend on my job. And he came up with this, and it was just out the blue. He said, Andre, you know what? He said, you so darn nice. You'll get invited to a Klan rally and nobody would nobody would do anything else. He said, you just cannot not like you. And it's not me, it's the anointing on my life. Live in such a way till your enemies want to join your team. Live in such a way till your enemies wake up thinking about you and say, I wonder what they're doing next. And while they're trying to research you, they end up falling in love with you and liking you and being on your side. And they start praying for you, and they start standing up for you, they start supporting you. And first they came to your business to talk about it, but they left buying $100 worth of stuff after they got done. Join my team, because the anointing on my life.
Amen.
Somebody say the remix. Verse 4, now we can go to verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This verse has been important to me in the work that I do. I said, I can't stand funerals. Funerals just do something to me, for the simple fact that you always have to be, as the preacher, you have to be strong for people going through. And whenever you see people going through, it reminds you when you lost a loved one. It reminds you of the grief. And so if funerals are difficult, but I always lean on this verse. But one time, and this actually happened in a funeral, I was preaching, and then I went to this verse and I saw something that I never saw before. And I'm going to say it again, and hopefully you can catch it. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I've always thought of valley and death. See, valley is the place between two mountains. Valley is the low place. And death, we know what death is. So death is rough, and valley is rough, and shadow is rough. But I thought about something. I've never seen a shadow in the dark. The only way you see a shadow is there has to be light. So let me take you to this point. I still have the sun. I cannot have a shadow without the sun. I might be in the valley and I might be facing death, but the Bible doesn't say it's actual death. It's the shadow of death, and there cannot be a shadow without the sun. So even if I'm in the valley and I'm in the trouble, the sun is somewhere over the rainbow. The sun is somewhere, and it's not just the S-U-N, but it's the S-O-N. And I've been in some valleys. I'm in a valley right now. I've been in some hard places, and I'm in a hard place right now, but there still is the sun. And there still is a Savior. And there still is Jehovah Jireh. And there still is Jehovah Nissi. And there still is El Shaddai. And there still is Adonai. And if you don't understand all that stuff, there still is J-E-S-U-S, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Wonderful Counselor. I still have the sun. Can't have a shadow without some light. So what you have to learn how to do, you have to learn how to step into the light. You have to learn how to turn toward the sun. If you want to lose your shadow, get closer to the sun. Because the shadow can only show up if you are a distance away from the light. And when the light hits you, then it creates the shadow. If you want the shadow to go, you got to get closer to the sun. And so I still have the sun, but if I'm still in trouble, guess what? I got to go to the sun. Now, I got to preach to what I'm preaching to you. I got to do it myself. And so I know that, and some of y'all know we're on strike. General Motors on strike. So we have at least four of us that I know in this ministry, including myself, that our source is our source of income comes from General Motors. So guess what we got to do? We got to live by faith right now. I can't be up here preaching all this stuff and then start crying. I can't come to church because I don't know how. I know. I got to be the first one to stand up and say, I don't know how we're going to get through, but I know we're going to get through. I don't know how it's going to turn around, but the God that I serve, he's still on my side. I still got the sun. Am I concerned about some stuff? Yes, I am. Am I a little worried about some stuff? Yes, I am. But one thing I do know, I once was young, and now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. God gonna turn around. God gonna fix it up. God gonna work it out because I still have the sun. All right. And here's the thing. Since I still have the sun, it also says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So I still have comfort. I still have comfort. I may not have everything I want, but last time I checked, I was still breathing. So I still got comfort. I still got a God that will come in and comfort me and come in and make me feel good. And I put this on Facebook just last night. One of the interesting things about the strike that I'm on is that I've been on midnight shift for the last 9 years. And so that means that me and my wife throughout the week, we do not get to sleep in the same bed. That's tough on a marriage. It's tough on intimacy. But now in the last week, we can't hardly go to sleep because we chit-chatting, talking to each other, acting like teenagers. I'm like, go to bed. Quit talking to me. We just enjoying it. Because we still have comfort. God, you may not have everything that you want, but you got to find the light at the end of the tunnel and thank God for everything that he's doing in your favor. And she looking better than she ever looked. Smelling better than she ever looked. And, I'm about to get distracted. Excuse me. Let me get back to. I still have comfort. Still got God on my side. Somebody say the remix. Psalms 23:3 says, he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. If we had it our way, our soul would never get to a place where it needs restoration. But that's just not life. The way life is, when you walk out the church, hell hits you in the face. And if you don't buckle, it affects your soul. But he restoreth my soul. Now, some of y'all may not remember this because I know y'all super saved and y'all never watched MTV, but I'm not as saved as y'all are.
So back in the day, I used to watch MTV every now and then. And they had a show called Pimp My Ride. Yeah. Well, look, boy, what y'all been watching? What y'all been listening to? Well, they would take an old car, and it was old and raggedy. And they would restore it and make it better than what it was when they found it. I don't care how low my soul gets, when God gets a hold of it, he know how to pimp my soul. He know how to fix it up and work it out and turn it around and clean me up and wash me up and fix me up. And if it looks like I'm going through a struggle, I'm just getting pimped right now. I'm just getting turned all the way around. He working on me. He restores my soul. And he leadeth me in the path of righteousness, so my denomination can be proud of me. No, he leads me in the path of righteousness, so y'all can talk about how anointed your pastor is. He leads me in the path of righteousness because I'm wearing his name. See, there's some stuff he does for us that's not about us. There's some stuff he does through us that's not about us, but we have his name. And it would make him look bad if we fail. So sometimes he picks us up, not because of us, and not because of our prayer, and not because of our church, and not because of our denomination, and not because of what T.D. Jakes said, but because of his namesake. Now let me go back to my wife for a second. Back in the day, she would always tease me and tell me that when we got married, that there was going to be a hyphen in her name. It was going to be Devin Brooks Mitchell. And I was like, the devil is a lie. I don't want no hyphen. I want Mitchell. But here's the thing. Since she's wearing my name, there's some stuff I do for her because it reflects me. And so back in the day when we had, before we were driving newer cars, what happened in my house, the newer car always went with the wife. Because when she drives around, she's reflecting my name. If the bumper is running on the ground and I'm driving, leaning back, I look like the fool because she's reflecting my name. And so here's the same thing with God. He's married to the backslider, and we are on his side. We are his bride. And there's some stuff he gonna do for us, not just because of us, but because of the name that we carry. I carry the name of Jesus Christ. I carry the bloodstained banner of Jesus. And because of his name, there's some stuff he gonna do. There's some stuff he gonna get you out of because of his name, for his name's sake. So let me say it to you this way: I am restored. Somebody shout that with me. Say, I am restored. You got to get some restoration. Now let me pull this out for just a second. This is my phone. I like my little Apple phone, and I usually have attitude with anybody got an Android. So pray for me because I'm an Apple man. But one thing I know at the end of the day, if I want to use this in the morning, I got to plug it in. Because as much as I can do on it, I can make videos, I can do emails, but that has limited battery life. But when I plug it in, the battery gets restored. And the problem with some of y'all walking around like a dead phone battery. You have a lot of stuff available to you, but you don't know how to plug into the source and get restored. And sometimes when you want it restored, you got to get off of it so that it can get the charge that it needs. So one thing I'm bad about, I like to plug it in and keep doing what I'm doing. But sometimes when it's low enough, you got to let it alone and let it get set there. Let it sit there overnight. And what is the first three letters of restored? It's R-E-S-T, which is what? Rest. Some of our problems, we don't know how to rest. God wants to restore, but we won't sit down long enough for us to rest and let him do what he need to do. And sometimes he got to allow you to be broken down so he can hook you back up and get you out of the way. Have you ever noticed that sometimes the biggest problem is you? And when you get out of the way, you can get the restoration that you need. And the reason why this is important, because in this context, it is talking about sheep. The whole context is about sheep. And so when you are a sheep, you follow what the leader tells you to do.
And so if the leader is trying to get you to rest so you can be restored and you won't rest, you're not acting like a sheep, you're acting like a goat. And in the scripture, God has to handle goats different than he handles sheep. So I don't know how many goats are out there, so please don't make any noise. Don't go bad. Don't do nothing. I don't want nobody to tell on themselves. But what I know is when you walk through life restored, you must be a sheep. You must be a lamb. You must be humble because he's got to do it that way. So I am restored and I am righteous. Somebody shout that. I am righteous. So he restoreth my soul and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. This is interesting. It seems to say to me that I can't walk in paths of righteousness if my soul's not restored. No matter how much I jicamasai at the altar, no matter how much oil they put on my head, they can put motor oil on my head. But if my soul's not right, when I walk out of here, I'm going to have a hard time moving in righteousness. So our soul salvation is very important. Here's the thing. When you get saved and you say, I want Jesus in my life, he recreates your spirit automatically. But your soul is a process. You ever heard somebody call things called soul ties? That means sometimes relationships and things get tied to your soul. And you want to do righteous things, but your soul is tied. You want to go to church Sunday morning. You got your outfit laid out. You got your smell goods already ready. You're going to slam when you come through them doors. Ready. But 2:30 a.m., you get a text you wasn't expecting. And it's from one of those men from back then. What you doing? Oh, I can't pay attention to that. I'm going to church in the morning. But your soul is still tied. Yeah, you ain't talked to him in 3 months, but he's still in your soul. And so when he called at 2:30, by 4:30, he's at home with you. And at 11 a.m. on Sunday, you don't make it to church. It's not because you didn't want to do right, but your soul was tied. And it doesn't say that God says, I'm kicking you out the kingdom. That's what the church does. I'm kicking them out. They shacking up. And they don't want to do it. That ain't what God says. He said, I lead you in the path of righteousness. In other words, I say, my goodness, they go doing it again. And they start, I'm trying to lead you in the right path. But if you are a goat, you buck against the leading of the law. But here's the thing I need you to understand. If you ever want to walk in righteousness, you're going to have to allow God to pull you. Sometimes I say, God, there's some stuff I'm doing I don't want to do, but I can't help it. I got the can't help us. Anybody, I know ain't none of y'all ever had the can't help us. But I done had the can't help us where I want to do right, but can't do right. And then long time ago, some of them old people said, this is what you got to pray to God. You got to say, God, give me a mind to be right. If I can't act right, God, give me a mind to be right. They told us this. They said, ask the Lord to give you a mind to be saved even when you're not saved. And so when I was a young person and I was hooked up on pornography and doing all kinds of crazy stuff, I would go to bed and say, God, I ain't ready to be saved, but give me a mind to be saved. I didn't know how powerful a prayer I was praying. What I was saying is, God, work on my soul. Because my mind resides in my soul. And once my mind got untangled, guess who was ready to be saved? I was ready for salvation because he led me and restored my soul. And the whole point of coming to the house of God is not just to hear a preacher preach and see the suit he has on and get in a $1,000 line and give some C fade offering. That's what the world has made us think. No, the real reason you're coming is to get your soul delivered. To get some deliverance in your soul, some freedom in your soul, your emotional intelligence. And here's the thing I love. It says that he leadeth us. He doesn't bully us. God, who died for us, could bully us into righteousness, but he don't bully us. He takes his time. When we say no, he just wait on us. And after we mess up again, he said, come on, are you ready? And he leads us. This is what the scripture says. It says, with a loving kindness have I drawn thee. I've been in some messy stuff in my life. But the reason why I'm preaching today is because he drew me. He kept drawing me. He kept pulling me and leading me in the path of righteousness. Have you ever done right and didn't know how you did right? Wasn't planning on doing right, but did right before you knew you did right because Jesus was there pulling you.
I'll never forget this time on my job. There was this guy who was, and I was saved by then. He looked like what they call a skinhead, had tattoos everywhere. And he looked like the type of person that would automatically not like black people. I didn't know for sure, but I decided I'm not going to judge him. I'm just going to try to be kind. So he worked on a second shift. I worked on midnights back when I worked in Muncie. And so I would see him clocking out, and he clocked out a different place than I did. So as I would clock in, I would see him walking out the door. And when I would come in, he would have all this like heavy metal stuff going on the CDs and things. And so I would try to get it to TLC, 105.7. I still remember back, WTLC, that's what I want to listen to. But if he don't like black people, I know when he come in the next day, he probably don't want to listen to no TLC. So I would turn it to a heavy metal station after I got done, just so I wouldn't upset them. I was trying to be nice. And so one day, when I was coming in, he comes up to me and says, "Don't you touch my radio no more. Touch my radio no more." And I remember I said something to him that calmed him down, and he changed his whole tune. He clocked out. But when I made a few steps later, I got so angry. I was like, I wanted to go find him and cuss him clean out. But it was too late. He had already walked out the door. God made me do right before I even knew it. And it didn't dawn on him. It was almost like when he said what he said, it didn't sound like it sounded until he had left. And after I thought about it later, it's like, who does he think he's talking to? And I'm going, but God had already covered it. And every day after that, he was so nice and kind to me. See, here's the thing. My soul was getting ready to start a war, but God just hooked it up and made me do right when I didn't want to do right because he's so good to me. All right. Now, I am on strike now, and that was probably 18 years ago. But I could have got fired a long time ago because if I'd done what I wanted to do, I may not have had a job, but God protected me. Do you know that sometimes God will block stuff that you don't want him to block? He'll stop stuff you don't want him to stop. You'll meet some girl that you used to like, and she said, "I tried to text you last night, and somehow your phone didn't receive it." God will block some stuff. He'll lead you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Somebody say remix. All right. He maketh, this is verse 2, almost at the end. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. The context of this is that sheep don't like rough waters because it scares them. It does something into their internal psyche. So even though it's water to drink, if the water is not still, the sheep will run away from the very thing they need. So what the leader does is put them beside still waters. Sometimes God will put you in a still place. See, sometimes what you think is a negative in your life is a positive in your life. People walked out on me and people, I thought they was my friend, but see, they kept up too much commotion. So God allowed them to leave to put you in a still place. You'll be amazed at the ideas that'll come in your head when you're in a still place, when you're in a calm place. And he leads me aside green pastures. And actually, the color green is a representation of prosperity. It's a representation of everything growing well. So when seasons change and winter changes and you begin to see the landscape change and the greenery comes, it's talking about life and vibrancy and prosperity. And so we're going to put this up here. I am headed towards prosperity and peace. So when he leads me into righteousness, he's also leading me into green pastures and still waters, which is prosperity and peace. And in order to explain this, I thought I had to pull just one verse in. This is the only other verse we're going to have outside of Psalms 23. Let me pull this verse in from Lamentations 3:17. Shows you this connection. It says, "You have moved my soul far off from peace. I have forgotten prosperity." This was a person that was struggling. They said that when peace left, I forgot prosperity. This is what you have to understand. See, we talk about prosperity in church, but we do understand there's some people in the world who are prospering. People in the world got stuff that we don't have. But this is what we don't understand. In God, you get prosperity and peace. See, the reason why millionaires and billionaires are killing themselves because they have the prosperity, but they don't have the peace. And so this context in Lamentations said, I was so far removed from peace, I forgot prosperity. I don't care about money when I don't have peace in my mind. I don't care about eating a nice steak when I can't go to bed at night and when I can't battle suicidal thoughts. You remove my soul from peace, so forget prosperity. But I said he's leading us toward prosperity and peace. I want money and I won't be able to enjoy the money. See, I don't want to sell dope and get the money because every time a cop comes, I don't want to be scared looking around. I don't want every time a dog go by my car, I wonder, are they going to be sniffing my trunk? I don't want to live like that. I don't want to have seven guns at my house just to protect my money. I want prosperity, but I want peace. I want to enjoy what I have. I want prosperity and peace. And the Bible says that's what he does. He leads us to prosperity and peace. All right, let's do this, and then we're going to get out of here. Let's do this bonus track recap. We're just going to cover every point that we have, and that's going to lead us to our last 2 points. So the first one was entourage. The second one was I ain't going nowhere. Third one was watch me eat. Fourth one was join my team. Fifth one was I still have the sun and the sun. The sixth one was I still have comfort. The seventh one was I am restored. The eighth one was I am righteous. And the ninth one was, I am headed toward prosperity and peace. What month are we in? We are in the ninth month. And I'm trying to get somebody moving toward prosperity and peace. Well, let me do this one more time. We're going to run through these one more time. And I'm going to do it differently. So I'm not going to count them this time. I'm going to put it this way. The reason why I have an entourage. And the reason why, go ahead and put them up as I say them. The reason why I have an entourage. And the reason why I ain't going nowhere, and the reason why folk gonna watch me eat, and the reason why they gonna join my team, and the reason why I still have the sun and the sun, and the reason why I still have comfort, and the reason why I am restored, and the reason why I am righteous, and the reason why I am headed toward prosperity and peace, here's the reason why, Psalms 23, 1a, the Lord is my shepherd. That's the reason why. That's why I flipped it. Every time I talk about the leader and he, I didn't want to say shepherd because I want to save it to the end. The reason why I have all these things is the Lord is my shepherd. General Motors is not my shepherd. Donald Trump is not my shepherd. The Democrats are not my shepherd. I love my wife, but she's not my shepherd. I love my kids, but she's not my shepherd. I love this church, but Deliverance Temple is not my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord of glory. He's the one that I lean on. He's the one that I trust in. He's the one that I can depend on. He's the one that died for me. He's the one that rose 3 days later with power in his hand. The Lord is my shepherd. If you're messing around with me, I might get happy and preach a little while. The Lord is my shepherd. When I'm depressed, the Lord is my shepherd. When I'm sick, the Lord is my shepherd. When I'm crying, the Lord is my shepherd. When I'm depressed, the Lord is my shepherd. When I'm worried, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Somebody, you ought to say it for yourself. The Lord is my shepherd. And here's the last part, and this is where we're close from. Psalms 23:1b says this, I shall not want. If I know all these things, and I understand the Lord is my shepherd, there's the only thing that I can say. The only thing that I can add all these things together. Here's the thing. When I take 2 plus 2, I always come up with 4. I don't care how you do it. If you take 2 men and 2 women, it's going to be 4.
You take two apples and two oranges, it's going to be four. $2 and $2, it's going to be four. Two Cadillacs and two Buicks, it's going to be four. I don't care how you do it, it's always going to come out the same because it's a mathematical principle. I don't care about the strike. I don't care about the trouble. I don't care about what I'm going through. After it all adds up together, it adds up to I shall not want. I don't care how it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. When I'm adding it all up together, there's two things I know. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I may be going through trouble, but the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It may look bad, but the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. I shall not want. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Come on, let's stand to our feet. It's the remix.